hand over to other members of the board to reflect. Ms. Tugwana, Ms. Rapela, Mr. Naidu, Mr. Mavuso. If you can start with you, Ms. Tugwana, if there are issues that you want to respond to or issues that you want to raise, because I really want us to have a view of all of us, so that you leave the meeting having spoken.
There were two issues which I think my colleagues have not touched on. The one issue was around how the operations have been affected by the changes. At the SABC, we haven't been affected operationally. And the one way that you, from a public perspective, can realize how we are affected is when we are not able to show you a picture from a television perspective, or for you not being able to hear the voice from a radio perspective. So up till now, as I'm speaking, our operations are running efficiently and effectively. Then there was the, I think it was more of an insinuation that because there's an allegation that the then COO was given an increment two or three times, it affected the general staff, that the general staff did not get their due increments, annual increments. So I just wanted to correct that perception, because we have been, as SABC, been able to offer our staff annual increments. And this is not from our own decision. This is an engagement with our trade unions where we decide, after long, often protected negotiations on a percentage that they feel, comfortable with. So it is not true that our staff have not received an increment. Not the past years that I've been an executive at SABC. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question of what is the board doing in terms of filling the vacant position. And what I want to clarify is that there's only two vacant positions, the GCO and the COO, because Mr. Aguma's permanent position is the CFO, so he is acting GCO at the moment. I'm sure members are aware that there was an article in the paper this past weekend of the position of the acting of the GCO, so that process is unfolding. The one for the CEO will be advertised in the near future.
Mr. Naidu. Thank you, Chair. The presentation, Chair, that I saw today was the first time as a board member I was seeing it. I wasn't party to it. So I thought I should take you and let you know that if I was party to it, I would have made the following contributions to some of the issues that are pertinent that you raised, and I think some of the honourable members raised earlier. And the first one, very simply, it's around Mr. Motsamane.
Are you saying you didn't contribute to the presentation of the board?
No, we have not met as a board to put this presentation together. I'm not sure who put this together. I know it's being done in the name of the board, and as a board member, I suppose I must abide by that. But somebody put this together somewhere. So all I'm saying is that had I been part of that, I would have informed this committee and you, Chair, about three issues coming from a legal perspective, because that's what I am. I'm a lawyer. The first thing, very simply, is the Western Cape judgment. You had a judge say this appointment was irrational, full stop. Right. So that means at that point, had you not taken a further legal recourse, it would have meant that the incumbent was no longer an employee of the organization. That is the effect of that judgment. But by going on appeal to the Supreme Court of Appeal or applying for leave to appeal, what you in effect do, you stay that judgment. That means for that period of time, you are still an employee until the SCA makes a decision. That decision was made a few weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, where the SCA said there are no prospects of appeal. Now, at that point, that's the final door, as we call it, you are no longer an employee of this organization. There's no other explanation for this whole thing. So as simple as that. The second point is that the SCA decision has nothing to do with the Motsoeneng as an employee. I mean, that is absolute nonsense. I mean, whoever gave the SABC that advice should be shot. The third point is around the delegation of authority. Now, I think whoever is advising the board, it could be our internal legal department, there's a reference to clause 13.8.1, which says that the powers to delegate are given to the chief executive officer in terms of the DAF, delegation of authority framework. Now, that's a very simplistic way of looking of delegation. You know, when you talk about corporate governance, firstly, that's the power given to you. Yes, that means you as the incumbent can make a decision. But the next point is in terms of what framework did you make that decision, in terms of what employment policy, in terms of what employment procedures, that is not answered. And that's the question that leads to what we call irrational or what I call arbitrary exercise of executive authority. Now, there's a famous case that goes back about 15 years in this country called the pharmaceuticals case, which laid down the principle that when you give power to an executive, like a CFO or a CEO or a COO, there's a duty on that incumbent to exercise that authority in a judicious way, with fair, with understanding of all the complexities that go in making such a decision, and not in an arbitrary way. So when you exercise power in an arbitrary way, which happened in the case of Mr. Motsoeneng being appointed as chief executive corporate affairs, what I'm saying is that there was no proper procedure followed. And listening to the CEO here, where he says, well, somebody gave him advice who said, you know, maybe we should put him back in his previous job. I mean, you know, when I listen to an executive at this level talking in such mundane terms, you know, it actually makes out the case why this board should be dissolved. You know, I mean, you don't have to sit and make an inquiry. Just by listening to the inputs of some of the people that went before me, you are dealing with people that don't really understand what is corporate governance, in my view. And I'm speaking as a board member. You know, it gets frustrating as a non-executive board member when you give advice from time to time at the board level, and then it's either refused or turned away, and one is not sure why. And if I go back to a few incidents in September 2013, one of the first thing challenges we had was this contract with MultiChoice. And the board gave me a task of looking at that contract, which I did. And I said to the board that that contract is illegal. It's unlawful. And what is the response? Not to review it, but to get a second opinion from some senior advocate to discount what I was saying. So that's been the dysfunctionality of this board, unfortunately, since that time, you know. And I think the point that we're missing is that there are a couple elephants in this room, you know. And, you know, what we're trying to do here as a board is trying to skirt around those elephants and deal with compliance issues in a very superficial way. And I think that's a bit disingenuous, not just to this committee, but to the South African public and the taxpayer in this country. So That would have been my contribution on those three matters pertaining to Mr. Motsen. They are very simple issues, so let's not complicate simple matters. The second thing, Chair, is that we've had the public protector report now since, I think, February 2014. And it's very clear that those were binding judgments, and had you had a different opinion, the only legal alternative was to go and review to a court of law, so a court of law had to set aside those findings. And I think the unfortunate part in the SKBC was that we've had a kind of long process in order to undermine what was said by the public protector. And I thought that was legally wrong. And I've just heard from my colleague here that we are now going on review, which is like almost two years after the event. Now, the law is very clear. If you want to review in terms of PAJA, you must do it within 180 days. You can't go 3 years to a court of law, I want to review something in 2013. You must have a good case to make out to judges. They're not going to listen to you and wait for you to come after the event. So just be mindful of that process. And I just want to end by saying, Chair, that I've heard all the explanations and I'm not satisfied as a board member. When I look at this presentation, it was amateurish in my view. So I think my own position is this, and I want to take my cue from Honorable Shabambu when he said earlier in his input, what are we doing here? Some of us have come through some serious struggles to bring this country to the point where we'd like to give a better life for everyone. And here we are sitting discussing and spending valuable time discussing mundane issues, you know. I've come to the conclusion that this board is dysfunctional. It should be scrapped. And personally, I will be resigning today as a board member. Thank you.
Mr. Mabuso.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to touch on a few points which I believe are very crucial that require attention. There was a point mentioned here that this board dismissed a number of board members in a manner that was quite unusual. I must make it a point here and now that it's something that really pains me because I was against that decision. And it is said that we speak about the late Hope Zinde, who was one of those members. And very credible auditors, if I may use the word, Ronnie Lubisi and Rachel Kalidis, who added value into the audit committee to a very large degree. And I'm actually at pains to say, I'm wondering what is happening as we're seated here. The second point I thought I should raise is with respect to the kind of dysfunctionality that has come to the fore. And indeed, by the way, the presentation that was presented this afternoon or this morning, I was seeing it for the first time too. I was not party to it. I was completely flummoxed when I saw that. And I said, what is happening? So there seems to be some kind of isolationist approach to ostracize certain board members. For whatever reason, I may not know. But what is crucial here is that I do believe that I made it my point because I had a public interest at heart to ensure that the public corporation does its work accordingly. But of course, in most instances, things have to come to a hit whereby we have to vote on issues, and more often than not, we never agree. But what is important, Chairperson, is that some of the processes that one has observed really leave much to be desired. I'll just give a few examples. To date, we have no fewer than 11 executives having been offered severance packages for whatever reason. And these have never been brought to the attention of the board because I heard about them through the grapevines. And my worry here, Chair, is that it's nothing short of institutional genocide. Because you have people who have got institutional memory who have been ostracized or taken out of the institution for whatever reason, and for me that is very worrying. I'm worried to say what is going to remain now that they are gone. You're going to have musical chairs because the executives will then do whatever they do and appoint people from within. Whether that is going to be credible or not is another matter. And that for me is quite worrying. Coupled with that, you then have a situation whereby, in case you are, maybe you're not aware, Mem Pesu Tugana has been appointed as acting COO. I only heard about it today. I was not party to that recommendation that went to the minister for her to be able to give ratification to that. Because ordinarily, they would have a round robin to ensure that each one of us expresses a view or an opinion. I don't have anything against her. I'm merely indicating a process point that says that we're not following due process, and seemingly it's very clear that a particular picture is beginning to emerge, and it's actually worrying me. I cannot afford to be party to that. And for that reason, I believe that seemingly my contributions are not adding much value, and it's more the reason why I've come to the conclusion that I'm tendering my resignation.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, members. You know, earlier I said to the board, as they speak and as they respond, they must talk to the quorum of the board in taking decisions. I think I was clear on that one, and maybe those are some of the issues that are very relevant for the committee. Let me start this side. Honorable Kongubele, Honorable Tolashe, Honorable von Scully, Honorable Self, Honorable Teddy, Honorable von der Merwe, Honorable Madisha, Honorable Subambo, Honorable Mungwena, Honorable Kekana, Honorable Machoba, and Honorable Kalako. Yeah. Honorable von Teik.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker.
I wonder about you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think there is no better time to ask a question, is the board fit to do the work it's doing? After having listened to a series of responses, you see, here is this board. It decided to appoint Mr. Mutsunim in whichever, let me say, for lack of a term, to place him wherever they have placed him, whatever they call it. Now, the same board is saying to this committee, we are reviewing, we have applied for a review. I want to conclude that, I want to say this board then understands that the remedial actions of the public provider and judicial institution must take a decision. And remember, these things that you are asking them to be reviewed are affecting the same individual you have what to call, you have placed. But you know that they have got no standing in law until they have been reviewed. But where we are sitting, the individual is already at work. Be reminded, if you read the public procurator, has got serious allegations against Mr. Mutsuni, who, by the way, I should let him know. Even if Chef I die having never been covered by SSB, you know, we have lived without that thing for more than 40 years, trying to fight for this country without SSB covering us. So I don't know what the board is owing Mr. Mutsuni. Maybe one day they will clarify. The allegations against him are serious. Now you say you had a DC. The There's this common word that is pervasive in your presentation that witnesses did not want to call, did not come. But you have not answered the question clearly, positively. As far as we are concerned as SABC, Mr. Motsoeneng was not involved in illegal promotions. You have not said that. That is the first point. It's what we call objective facts, positive statements, so that you can actually hang your heads for that. So he has not done that. Say that he had no role in the fraudulent appointment of the CFO. Say these things. If you are a self-respecting board, you must say the DC had no findings, but as a board, whatever happened in the DC, based on our knowledge, these things did not happen. Not a single one of you has been brave enough to say that. All what we are hearing is that witnesses don't come. But if you look at the report, there is one report where Mrs. Swanepoel is quoted as having said she had an interaction with Mr. Motsoeneng, and Mr. Motsoeneng had a particular view about the role of Mr. Swanepoel. And Mrs. Swanepoel had her own view about that. Now, the point I'm making is that you have not come, so irrespective of how many witnesses came, your own conscience, based on your knowledge as the board, has Mr. Motsoeneng done the things he said to have been done? Forget that you are messing up with the law, that you are reviewing the remedial actions of the public procurator against which you have already implemented some of the things that would actually contradict the spirit and letter of those remedial actions. So to me, that's the board which has got disrespect for South African law. It's got no regard for it. It doesn't care what happened to it. Now you tell us about that. Mr. Motsoeneng has got unique skills. You know, every time I hear this question, it worries me because, you know, let me tell you this. If Verwoerd offered artists of South Africa in the 80s 90% and said, I'm giving you 90% but apartheid continues, there's no way you would have accepted that. Because Verwoerd at that time would be addressing the material issues, the tummy of ourselves, not that which defines us. If you've got a COO who implement rules that undermine the founding principles of our democracy, because he's giving 90%, there will be food at night. So that's what defines us. We don't need democratic principles. What we need is food. It's only Verwoerd who would have spoken like that to us. And we would have told him, we reject that. Now we're told by Ms. Thokwane that SABC is operating. I wish she was going to make her view about how does she understand the view of society about the SABC today. The people who are praising SABC currently as we speak, generally, are the people who generally seems to be getting something from SABC, either in group form or individuals. But the general society, where I'm yet to hear the survey of society about SABC. Now, how do you explain a situation where two board members do not know what the chairperson is saying? How on earth should we look at that and say it's a normal thing? Why should we call it a normal thing? Instead, you've got conferences, like cowboy conferences there, people having bought, I don't know, new clothing, parading in this country, remonstrating with the political leadership of this country, demonstrating that, bordering on saying that it can go to hell. And then you think we must sit here and say that is normal. There's a lot of sacrifice that is made for this democracy. There are orphans, there are widowers and widows for it. And it was not secured on tummies of food. Because what was being fought for is the identity of this country and the founding principles of our democracy. So because I'm giving you 90%, keep quiet. So I'm saying, we can do without the skills that do not respect the founding principles of our democracy. Now, your DC met, your DC cleared. Now ask yourself this question, what are you trying to do now when you're applying for a review? Because the list of the issues that the DC was supposed to deal with are all the issues that the PP spoke about. You have already acted on that. Based on that DC, that has cleared all those things. You said Mr. Mutoneni is clear. And then now you are applying for a review. What do you want that to serve? Because the court of this country, the court has already spoken on this matter to say those remedial actions are binding. There is no other institution that can actually give a second thought except established judicial courts in South Africa. But what are you trying to do? Now, as you continue again to say the things that you're saying, I'm yet to be convinced that there is a reason why an inquiry must not be done around you. Because if you respect this committee and you knew this committee wanted you to address them, a lot of issues that are raised, even in that simple presentation that you have, you would have supposed your common sense and your fiduciary responsibility was supposed to tell you that the committee might want policy on this matter. You were supposed to, actually, if you took this committee serious, you're supposed to have listed what are the possible documents that are going to be required as we make the following submissions. The fact that none of them have been put here, except that three-paragraph protocol document, there is no better way to explain the disrespect you have for this committee than that one. Right? So all I'm saying, I pray that I don't think from my side I've got any further comment to make up against you, actually with you. Because I thought your response was going to assist us to think differently as against what we've been thinking, having seen a number of things. Actually, what you are doing, you are confirming that SABC is in trouble in everything that you have just said. So all I'm saying, Chair, I want to be convinced that there's a reason why there can be the Sonepul case only on its own. That's my last point. The Sonepul issue, the fact that there are different views between Sonepul and Sonepul, that alone calls for further investigation. The fact that Chair presents here and two board members have got a different view, that alone calls for further what to call in. I can list a number of issues that creates basis for further inquiry. There can be no justification why that is not done, in my view.
Dalasha?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I was also sitting here when the board was trying to respond to the questions, hoping that there would be some response that would give the dignity to this committee and to this meeting. And unfortunately, the chairperson in particular decided to be sarcastic, and everybody else was unable to respond into even one question. Not even one question has the board been able to respond to, except for what Honorable Kungubele is responding to. And chairperson, I'm not sure now with the last blow getting from the two board members, what else do we want now? I think this whole scenario is forcing us to put a question. If we are going to ask, what are we going to ask? Because a letter was written to the board to come and respond. Here is a piece of paper presented to us as a response. To be even more disciplined and more of good members of parliament, we pondered putting questions. And the board, once again, was unable to respond to all those questions, very fundamental questions. And now, I'm not sure if we want to change ourselves to be a court of law. I think now we've gone too far. I think it's enough now. I think the time has come, Chair, you have been trying to avoid this, for us to ask a question, whether this board is fit for the office that they are holding. Because the first question I had is whether they understand the laws that establish this institution. If the chairperson will go and say, I'm not accountable to anybody. So that was my starting point. So I want to appeal to Chair to say, we should not waste time, so that we are able to get to real issues. The pondering of the fitness of the SAB board into the office. Allow the parliament to do that, follow its processes, so that at least at the end of today, we can be able to talk to South Africans in a very confident way to say, we are dealing with your issues in a manner that you would love to see us doing so. Because I don't even want to get into a situation, you know, unfortunately, Mr. Mtshweneke has been changed to be something that doesn't exist. I've never had a person being defined like he has been since this starting of this. I don't know, that's the first time. And I think it's so unfair to him as a person. I don't think we must get there as the committee. He is just a small matter within a huge institution. Therefore, we should not allow ourselves to get into pondering Mr. Mtshweneke as a person. Therefore, let's not even begin to get there. Let's deal with the tough issues. Let's deal with the board chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I've been broadly covered by the previous speakers, because my concern was also the questions that I've raised hasn't been answered, except for the part that Mr. Naidu answered. So I think it let's rather leave it there, because it's clear that we won't find the satisfaction that we need. And what we actually need is honesty. That's the only thing that we need at this stage. If we ask an honest question, we expect an honest answer. Because I've raised the matter of the position of the renaming of the same position. And I've clearly asked, did it only happen as a renaming of the position? Or was it an upgrade of the post? And how did it relates to each other, the previous position to the current position? I didn't ask how much the person is earning, but I wanted to establish if there was an improvement of benefits relating to the new position. Because we were told that they established it in order to improve the deliverables. To which deliverables are we talking or referring to? Is it new or existing deliverables? And we needed some clarification. And it's clear that we are not satisfied in terms of the responses that we received. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I really want to come back to the issue of the so-called transparent and independent disciplinary inquiry, because it also went through a particular process. You will remember that Advocate Mukari was appointed the chairperson of that. Then he was replaced by an Advocate Eerdlung. There was an initiator called Mr. July from a very reputable law firm. He was replaced. So I have most serious doubts about the independence and transparency of that procedure. And I think that there was deliberate manipulation of the presiding officers to guarantee a particular outcome. And I think that my colleagues have been absolutely correct, that there were a number of issues that were simply not traversed in that disciplinary inquiry, and therefore the outcome of that disciplinary inquiry is effectively meaningless. Specifically, the position of Ms. Swanepoel was mentioned, and I just want to read into the record exactly what she alleges in an affidavit. It goes like this. Ms. Swanepoel left the SABC in 2006. In late 2012, Mr. Motsoeneng telephoned her. He told her that the SABC was trying to fire him and he wanted to keep his job. He said that his attorneys wanted to make her to make an affidavit about his matric certificate and the form that he had completed. He indicated to Ms. Swanepoel that she should say that he had told her that he did not have a matric when he filled in the form. She refused. She also told Mr. Motsoeneng that she did not wish to speak to him as she had a sexual harassment suit pending against the SABC at the time. He knew about the case and asked what she wanted from the SABC. She said she wanted 2 million rands in compensation. Mr. Motsoeneng, then the acting COO, replied in Ms. Swanepoel's words that, quote, he could organize for the SABC to pay me 2 million rands if I was willing to depose the affidavit about the certificate. That is the elephant in the room that was never, ever dealt with by that disciplinary inquiry. Never. And when you depose to that in a court case and it's not dealt with, then what type of inquiry were you thinking of when you did this? The other thing that really worries me is if the SABC board was so satisfied with the nature of that disciplinary inquiry, why did they oppose the review application brought by the Democratic Alliance? And why have they now applied for a stay application in respect of the court case pending the substantive review of the public protector's report? And it might be true that the legal expenses alluded to in the annual report do not reflect the actual costs. But what we've dealt with here in this one case, four cases, three High Court cases, one SCA case, we've now got a review application, an opposition to the review application brought by the DA against the disciplinary inquiry, and the stay application before Judge Simela. How much is that costing the corporation? Just because of one person? I mean, it's outrageous. Chair, I think that I agree with the colleagues that actually what we've heard here today makes the board look like some sort of dog show, frankly. And I think we should move very swiftly to discharge our responsibilities in terms of Section 15A of the Act and recommend the dissolution of the board.
Honourable from the Parva.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we are all on the same page. I think the previous speakers have very succinctly captured where we should be going, Chairperson. But let me also then just briefly say that I think the non-answers that this board has provided us today with speaks volumes. Also, I want to thank the two board members sitting in front of us who have been brave enough and honest enough to tell us about the internal struggles that you are facing, and I think we need to thank you for your honesty. I think you have served our nation and this board very well, and I think you're probably the only mistake that you've made is that you've been too independent-minded, like the previous people who have been chased away, like Rachel Kalidas and the late Hope Zinde. So please, I think we must really applaud you for being so brave and honest today. I want to go back to the issue about the DC and some of the comments that were made around that. In terms of the DC, board member Tsuzumba said that one of the problems they had was the fact that they couldn't get the number of witnesses or all the witnesses that were lined up were not available. But I think also if this was a hands-on board, you would have known that there's a culture of fear and intimidation at the public broadcaster. And that is one of the reasons that you couldn't get the witnesses to come forward to have a credible process in terms of this DC. And also, I think we need clarity in terms of who this independent company was that conducted this hearing for you. You mentioned that acting GCO, because the fact of the matter, there was another company that had a disciplinary hearing as well, and they compiled a report which actually replaced the public protector's report. So I wanted to know whether that was the same company that assisted you. Mr. Aguma, you also said that Mr. Motsoeneng's salary is a sensitive subject. Well, be that as it may, the understanding we need to find out is now that he's in a more junior position, that is he still earning a higher salary than what he had as a COO? That's what we were asking. I also asked about the alleged bonus that he received, because we need to get clarity about that as well, and you didn't answer. I don't think we're going to get answers today, Chairperson. But I think it was important that we still put on record that these are questions that we asked that we never got answers to. Also, Prof, you and the acting CEO didn't answer when I said that I was quite upset when you said that political parties or general citizens shouldn't interfere in the running of the SABC. Be that as it may, that is also the reason why your viewership is dropping and why South Africans are saying we will no longer pay our TV licenses as a form of civil disobedience, because you're not taking South Africans seriously. Lastly, Chairperson, one of the comments was that the reason why this board is fit and proper is because it's complying with legislation and therefore they are fit and proper. But the AG's recent report has given these guys a qualified audit because they are not complying with laws and legislation. So they've sealed their own fate. And I think I would then also agree with Honourable Self to say that let's move in terms of the Broadcasting Act, that we move a resolution for dissolving this board without any further delay.
Honourable members, Honourable Shibambo.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's apparent now with the submissions of the board members, Naidu and Kumalo, that there is a bigger problem than we had imagined with regards to the SABC board. It looks like there's a clique within the board that is running the board according to its own rules, because when the High Courts and the Supreme Court of Appeal says that you are wrong, they say, no, we're not wrong. We'll continue doing what they were going to do, we have been doing before. When the chief whip of the majority party speaks on behalf of his caucus, 243 members of parliament, that person, the chief whip, is isolated by Saudi and banished, that no, he's the one who's wrong. When the minister in the presidency speaks on behalf of the executive, on behalf of cabinet, to express concern about the actions of the SABC, is isolated as one person, that Jeff Khadebe is wrong. When the public protector speaks, and then they are in the process of implementing the remedial action of the public protector, and then they realize that somewhere in the process of implementing that, part of the implementation might mean that Saudi must go, let's take it to review, the public protector is wrong. I'm sure even when we are unanimously speaking today as parliament here, they're going to say the same thing, that we're wrong, all of us. When we're saying that there is something fundamentally wrong with the SABC board, all of us are wrong, except Saudi. So everything else is being sacrificed on the altar of protecting Saudi. Who is Saudi? I don't think we must be held at ransom for such a long time. And one myth that we must dismiss decisively is that he's the one who single-handedly introduced 90%, he must therefore be worshipped. That call has been there even before he was anything in the SABC. We were in the ANC clique, we called artists before, and they made the call long before he was the CEO, before he was anything significant. They made themselves that we want 90% or a certain representation in terms of content of broadcasting in the SABC. It's not his creation. So the hired crowd that is outside there that thinks that they're coming to protect 90%, it's not Saudi's policy, it has been there. The people in the industry themselves have been making the demand that there must be localization in terms of broadcasting in South Africa. And it's a logical thing to do, that let us broadcast local content in a manner that will empower artists and those that perform in that particular space. So I think that the recommendation, actually the decisive action that should happen, is that out of their own will, the board members as well, all of them must dissolve themselves now. We initially said that we must have an inquiry. It will take us a very long time. They must leave. They must actually first remove the illegal appointment of Saudi. Leave as well, so that we constitute a board that is going to take forward the functions of the SABC, so that we have an entity that is properly managed, not by the whims and needs of individuals. We think that they are much more important and more correct than anyone else. Please do not drag us through a long process, a wasteful process of taking everyone to court, review on the disciplinary hearing, review on the public protector. You'll possibly even review what we're doing here today. So please save us time and give an opportunity to a very important public institution, a public broadcaster that has to be saved so that it benefits all South Africans in a decisive way. So let us not really waste time. I think that amongst yourself, you must find it deeper in yourself that it's not about you. It's about South Africa. We have to protect the constitution, the rules that govern our country, and everything else that is necessary. The painful point which is raised by the board member there that it must not be easy in all public institutions to destroy institutional memory. You can't say it's institutional genocide. It must not be easy just to arrive and think that you are some superhero and then all of a sudden everyone else must go because you are there. It must not be easy because there are certain things that you will make mistakes on which if there were people who are experienced about the same thing would have advised otherwise. It's one of the things that has to be dealt with far much more differently. So perhaps the new board that comes into office must go and re-recruit some of the critical skills that have been lost because of the bullying tactics of Klaudi and the people who are supporting him, so that we have a functional public broadcaster which is representative of all South Africans, which broadcasts local content and not individualize it as an achievement of one individual. It's an achievement of the industry itself. Like when the Creative Workers Union was formed, part of their founding resolutions was on proper local content. The manifestos, I think, of the ANC, of the EFF, speak about local content in the public broadcasting far much more decisively. So it must never be ghettoized to be made a Klaudi innovation. So the people who have been hired to support him must really be assured that there is no need to support Klaudi to have 90%. You can have 90% and a properly run SABC. Doesn't mean that if you have 90%, you must have an SABC that is run like a spaza shop and where people can just change and shift positions as and when they wish. So I think that is must be very decisive in terms of how we provide guidance so that we do not have the recurrence of the same problems that we have been facing. Say the time of games has come to an end now. We must take serious decisions. Strong.
Thank you. Honorable Mbinda.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is a simple point. I wanted to point out to the acting GCEO and the gentleman that at the back there. I can't remember what your designation was there. I wanted to point out that you have come here to mislead Parliament. You come here and you say to us that there was a disciplinary action, a disciplinary proceeding that was implemented against Mr. Klaudi as part of your complying to the public protector's remedial actions. That is not correct. Because here, this is what it says. In its remedial action, the report says the SABC board must ensure that there's a bulletproof before that, and the second one says appropriate disciplinary action is taken against the following, and then it mentions Mr. Motsweneng, Ms. Lulama, and so on and so forth. Now it says disciplinary action must be taken against, not a disciplinary inquiry in which you are then going to investigate what the public protector has already investigated. And this is what the board means when it says that you have then taken over you've undermined the office of the public protector. And for that reason, I think it's clear that you are not fit. You talk about corporate governance as if you've been complying. You mention all of these things. But you then go and mislead Parliament on a fundamental issue like that. The public protector must not be undermined. This is a lesson that we learned in the Constitutional Court case against the Nkandla case. And for that reason, I think this board is not fit. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Honorable Chair. I thought earlier on you indicated to the members that we need to interrogate the responses from the SABC board, and thereafter meet as a committee to decide on a way forward. For me, you know, you don't just get rid of people. There's a due process that must take place. We don't have to be in a hurry. And then if we want to get to the bottom of these issues, it is proper that at least we debate it. And then if there is a need for that commission or whatever to be established, then it must be established. Of course, even as I'm sitting here, you see, Chair, I am not happy, more especially with some of the responses. It is worse now when you hear that some of the board members were excluded in the process. But I understand within board meetings there are processes. I don't know whether they, if they were never told, obviously, it will not be easy for them to indicate whether they were for or against. Your memorandum, your article of memorandum is very clear. And what I thought they will zoom in, they will try and convince us in terms of these issues that we have raised, more especially the issue of the policy direction when it comes to recruitment and so forth, whether they have just followed those processes to the latter. For me, you know, it is not about the warm bodies. The issue for me is more about the policy direction. If they were able to slant the system or manipulate those processes, that's what I wanted, you know, us to know as board members, rather than looking at the one bodies. You know, I don't believe in personal cults. That's how I was schooled. That's how I was brought up politically. But my mind is more about the system, the policy direction. If they were they were manipulated, then I hear what the other board members are saying, and I'm also sitting here wondering why all of a sudden, why have they been quiet? Because I thought that there is a recourse, you know, even in board meetings. You can disagree, there is nothing wrong with that, but at least there's a process of looking at the majority view and so forth. But if they were never told, it's exactly where we want to know. It's exactly what we want to know, Chair. So I'm saying we must be given an opportunity as the committee, because as the committee we have got more facts, we have been interacting with most of the issues, and thereafter then now take whatever step that we think it is necessary for the public. Thanks.
Honorable Matisha.
No, thanks, Chair. I must say that I'm disappointed, because that which I thought would permeate this discussions just before now has actually changed. I thought really we would be able to move forward and say properly how do we take things forward. But as a sequel to that which was raised by the other two members of the board, I then have an answer to the question that I raised when I started with my input there. Remember, I said, is the board fit to do its work? And the board members have now themselves answered that question, that they are not fit to do that which they are supposed to do. And I'm quite happy that in unison, the other members of the committee here are actually ossifying that which one raised. This board is not fit. But then the question is, what then has got to be truly done? I mean, I was quite, you know, unhappy. I thought I was going to raise further questions. For example, the acting, what is acting, the gentleman, COO, is up there now, okay? CEO. for instance, I mean, I was not happy when he refused, underline that, please, to respond to some of the questions which we wanted to understand. I mean, we raised the issues around the finances, etc., etc., and he said, no, I won't give you this. I can only give it to you next week. Now, that to me is a problem because this committee is the committee of parliament that is there to basically deal with all these kind of things. And he had refused basically to do that. But then even beyond that, one had thought that more other issues that we had raised would be answered to, and we were going to make a follow-up now. But then I understand members of the board that the board is not a fit. In actual fact, they basically say as people come together, individuals, to say that they are going into the board meetings, it's a few people. I further am happy that they indicate that the meetings do not only have to take place where we come together, we sit and speak together in a room, but then that you can send, you know, the message around, and then people, members of the board, okay, will then be able to respond and say, yes, yeah, I agree. No, here I don't agree, etc., etc. But then, from what they are saying, the negative is actually the case. Therefore, this the question that I raised is responded to. We don't have the board; it does not fit. We don't have the board. You are not there. As individuals go home.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Motsaneng will recall that about 6 months ago, I bumped into him one day on the fifth floor of the Marks building near my office. And I said to him, I'm not going to pay my TV license. And he was surprised and asked me why, and I said, I can't find no reason why I should do that. I think today you understand what I meant on that day. Chairperson, I don't think we need to go into more questions and more details with all due respect. I think it's quite clear. We are all focusing on the board. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's a bit wrong because it's not the board, it's how the board functioned or how some members of the board functioned in what happened at the SABC. And if we replace the board, that's fine. That's part of the solution, but that's not the total solution. So it's fine if the committee moves a resolution to recommend the dissolution of the board. But the investigation into the whole SABC, I think, would also assist to once again make the SABC the gold standard of broadcasting, which it can be. Thank you.
Remember, you're making your concluding remarks, Honorable Van Dijk. No, you are fine. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chair, I'm covered and agree with most of the committee speakers, but I want to highlight that the lack of supporting documents presented by the board was quite disappointing, taken in consideration the importance of this committee meeting, and which the board clearly did not take seriously. We didn't receive the disciplinary hearing outcome documents
any minutes of the board meetings on the issues. And if I recall, Mr. Aaron said that the board has an implementation plan in place to respond to the public protector's report. And while the secretary is here with her laptop, maybe she can provide us at least with that thing. The other question that I do want clarity on is the SABC banned the broadcast of violent protests. This was found that this was in conflict with its duties as a public broadcaster and invalid in terms of the Constitution and Broadcasting Act. We want to know who took that decision and what logical base was the decision taken, on what logical base. And did anyone take responsibility for this decision? And then, Chair, the other thing that I want to mention from our side is that the board is actually now only six members, dysfunctional, and that the only thing to do is that the minister should appoint an interim board.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kalako. That's the last speaker.
No, Chair, thanks. I think, Chair, I'm covered. I will propose, Chair, that I think we don't have to go further now. I think as a committee we'll have to, on our own, deliberate. Of course, members have already put forward proposals on what to do about the board. Because if it's six people minus two people, it's only four left now. We don't have a board. That's what faces us. So whether we like it or not, there's no way that we can keep things as they are at the moment. Because once we do that, we're going to fall into the same trap which this board have been in, where the executives takes control and determines everything. So it's going to be very much important for us, Chair, that we now ask the officials, the board, to leave us, and then as a committee, conclude on the way forward. Chair, thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. Members, I think we have come to the conclusion or the end of the session with the board. We have listened to them, we have asked questions, they responded the way they did. Members are not satisfied. And then the committee must remain and take a decision on what to do. On what to do, taking the process forward. You are released, members of the board, and then wait a minute. You are released. There is tea for 10 minutes, and then after that, the committee convenes. We proceed and take decisions on the basis of the information we have. Thanks.
You had 800 because it's a double session.
Yeah.